Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of 1 John chapter 5, we taught that a lot of our difficulty is that we refuse to take God as He is and adjust our lives accordingly. You better listen closely today. So you pray according to His will. So, it must be according to His will. Again, not breaking anything that's moral, anything that's ethical, not praying anything that supports a false doctrine, a sin thing. You don't do that. But keep it in mind, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 8, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. If you're not saved, don't expect God to hear your prayers until you call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. That's the first prayer He wants to hear from you. So my friend, I trust you will pray. If you've not prayed, and ask the Lord to save you, believing that He died on the cross, shedding His blood for you, and you call upon Him to save your soul, He will do that. Now, let's go on to verses 16 and 17. He says, if any man see his brother sin a sin, which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that you should pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. Now, as we look there, this is going right in, going from the one thing to the next, as we're looking here at prayer. Now we're looking at 21st century Christianity, God's definition of sin. You see, this 21st century has been in many ways viewed and witnessed. Many formerly Bible-believing fundamental churches drink into the wine of the culture and has become drunk with its fleshliness. You see, much of our difficulty as seeking Christians stems from our unwillingness to take God as He is and adjust our lives accordingly. You see, today's church seems to insist upon trying to modify God and to bring Him nearer to our image instead of us to Him. The flesh whimpers against the rigor of God's inexorable sentence and yet begs for mercy and a little indulgence of its carnal ways. But my friend, that's no use. We must accept the Lord as He is, as He is revealed in His word, and His will His way, and learn to love Him for who He is. Love Him for what He is. He is God, and He is holy. So again, we have witnessed many fundamental churches that have given in to the culture that's demanded that we do not hold to the same standard. And so they no longer call things sin that they used to call sin. The liberals did that long ago, but their infiltration into Bible-believing churches as angels of light, as 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 13 through 15 says, that they prayed even as angels of light. And of course, they're not. They're deceivers. And it's made huge scars in the spirits of churches by making culture its Lord. Well, there is a judge in heaven that will one day show the folly of the contemporary and emerging church. God's word is still the final authority in all things. It never gives liberty to fulfill the lust of the flesh. My friend, society, even respectable society, is not the authority. Rather, our Creator, God, and Lord Jesus Christ, and His book, the Bible, which He's exalted above His name. And by the way, I say Bible, you English-speaking people, for us, it is the King James Bible. These other translations from corrupted manuscripts are no good. And I say that unapologetically. Let us look at sin's involvement and the Christian's personal responsibility as a result. Now again, we look there at verse 16. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death, I do not say that ye shall pray for. Now, it is understanding that the word brother is used here. So, understand that. That's interesting. He says brother. This is not speaking of an unsaved person, nor is it speaking of immediate family, although it could be, in that immediate family is saved. Were you ever, as a teen, left in charge of your younger brothers and sisters, maybe a toddler? They get out of your sight, and they get into something. Maybe it's a sack of white flour in the bottom cupboard that is filled, and they take it out, they get it open, and they spill it in its entirety on the brand new dark carpet that your parents bought that would not show dirt. You were left in charge, but there's a mess. But the little one's not in trouble. That toddler's not in trouble. You are. Why? Because it was your responsibility. The Great Commission ends with teaching them to observe. We need to take people under our wings and teach them. This is love. This is love for God. This is one who loves Him, obeys His commandments. By the way, that's why you ought to be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, in a Bible preaching church. Be there for Sunday school. Be there for Bible conferences, missions conferences, revival meeting. See, you learn doctrine by the people who preach the word. Now, you also learn doctrine by reading the Bible daily on your own. And people learn doctrine by Christians who are there that are knowledgeable in the word and can share what they've had over the years with someone else. And don't be a Christian that's been saved for 20 years and be as those in Hebrews chapter 5 that at what time they should be teachers. They need the milk, the very first steps of the word of God. They really haven't grown. That's a terrible, terrible, terrible testimony. And it shows a lack of love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the word sin here in this text, in verse 16, is a Greek present participle meaning a man commits and continues to commit. It is a habitual sin. By the way, he's also called a brother. Now, some people say, if he's truly saved, he will not commit a habitual sin. Well, do you really believe that we don't have those sins? Some people are given to gossip. The Bible calls it an abomination, which is on the level of homosexuality. The same word used for abomination for homosexuality is used for those that sow discord among brethren. Slander. Smoking. You know, your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. Smoking, social drinking, things of that nature that are just bad for the body, that are sin. Okay, so, and somebody has a habit of smoking, somebody has a habit of gossip, somebody has a habit of dirty thoughts, somebody has a habit of laziness, somebody has a habit of missing church, somebody has a habit of so many things that are called sin. And so, yeah, Christians, saved people, do commit habitual sins. I've always wondered how many times does somebody have to commit a sin for it to be considered a habitual sin in order that they really aren't saved. Okay. So many things, when you really think them out, just kind of lose their significance. People say things that, oh, wow, that's important. That sounds very intellectual. But when you carry it out purposely by the Word of God, you find out, well, no, that can't be right because of this. And here's one of those because of this. This is showing us that there are brothers who commit habitual sin. Now, there's a love that God wants us to have. It's seen in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Remember there, Jesus said to love one another as I have loved you, not just as you love yourself, even stronger, as he has loved us. Did we break that commandment? Yes, we do. Be honest now. You see, Jesus went the extra mile. He did all that for us. And so we actually commit habitual sin when we don't love as Christ loved us. On the other hand, when you have a love like Christ have, you'll go that extra mile to take somebody under your wing. And that does, it takes time, it takes effort, and sometimes from people that aren't as thankful as you think they should be. But you do that to help them to understand why some things are wrong and why you do some things that are right. As a newborn babe in Christ, there as the child who didn't know any better is the illustration we gave of the toddler that pours out the flour. In the desire to apply liberty to worldly things, we want to do them at the toddler stage of Christian growth and life. And so these people must be discipled. We must love as Christ loves to bring them out of that terrible false doctrine that says, you know, we have liberty today to fulfill these lusts of the flesh. We don't. We really don't. We are spiritually toddlers when we try to justify following the desires of the flesh, and we need to be placed in remembrance of the Word of God and brought to basic training in God's Word.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.